Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and you're listening to KCIW, your community radio station. You know, we're in the midst of a pretty strange time. For most, probably all of us, our lives have been severely disrupted. The economy is in tatters, and the acrimony between the left and the right has become so intense that civility and empathy seem to no longer have a place in our interactions with each other. The great divide between us and them seems to just keep growing wider, fueled by anger and fear on both sides. The logical result is a community further divided, further alienated from anyone not in our own tribe, and increasingly fragile. We're each convinced that our perception of reality is the truth, and therefore anyone who doesn't share it is just plain wrong. But like a giant beach ball made up of unlimited slices of color, what you see all depends on where you're standing. My hope is that this show can help all of us see the other colors by first being willing to entertain the possibility that they exist and learn that there might be some worth in listening to a perspective different than our own. I believe that willingness to include all of us in the discussion will lead to a stronger, more resilient community, something we all want and need. Please join me for my conversations with Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper, a new series called Building Bridges. Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and welcome back, everyone, to this week's show in the new series, Building Bridges. And with me, as always, is Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper. How are you doing today, Jake?
I'm doing well, Candace, doing well.
So you got some sleep last night, right?
I did. I got some sleep. My family's gone, though.
Because it's several of us. Oh, wait, that's great, isn't it? Because then you can actually sleep.
I'm used to things. I'm used to certain things, you know what I'm saying? And so I have the same, so my bedtime routine, and I know it sounds like I'm,
right.
I was going to say 70 years old, but then I realized that would be a horrible idea.
See, I was going to say 5 years old.
Oh, man, that's good, man. That's a good one.
That was not
nice,
bad.
Yeah. Huh? And yours actually makes more sense. So, yeah.
But if you're used to certain routines and they get disrupted, things get a little weird.
Yeah, but that was added. But I got some sleep last night, so feel better
because tonight. A lot of us noticed on your Tuesday night chat, which was only last night, right? It was only Tuesday. Yes, I can't keep track of the days. That you looked a little bit tired.
And
you'd had a rough council meeting. It lasted
long.
Forever.
Yeah, it was a good one.
You don't usually go that late.
No.
Right? It was like 11:30.
Yeah, 11:30. I can only remember maybe, I don't know, I'm probably forgetting some, but maybe a half a dozen meetings in a decade that have ever gone that long. Most of them don't.
And it's one thing if it's, you haven't been working all day or, other assorted things, but if you've been working and then you go from there to a meeting that lasts 5 hours, 4.5 hours, that's you have a right to be tired at the end of that day.
I earned my bucks on that one. I earned my council pay on that one,
which is so high.
I know, it's incredible. It's incredible.
It's 100 times what I make. The same zero times however many. Yes. I think it's really easy for people to forget that, that this town is really primarily run by volunteers.
Oh, yeah.
You look at how many organizations there are, and what those organizations do, it's not like they're just, kind of window dressing organizations. It's important stuff.
Yeah, they're doing serious work, and it is. This area is ran and sustained by volunteers. It's something. It really is. It's pretty impressive. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
And, people not only give their time, but they put their money into it as well. There's There's constantly, you know, things that are being funded by donations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you look at the Humane Society.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think just the other day, they were trying to raise $1,500 so that they could go and get some more animals, dogs, I think, primarily, from somewhere in California. And, you know, it didn't take them long at all to raise $1,500. Yeah. I mean, it was like a few days, maybe, you know? It's amazing and great, as far as I'm concerned.
It is great, you know, for sure.
Yeah. People putting their money where their mouth is, as well as their time, you know, which is delightful. So I know that you said on your chat that what you were dealing with was a land use variance at the council meeting.
That's not the technical term. It was a conditional use permit. So variances are actually a little different. Conditional use permit.
And when that gets settled, I'd love to chat about it, because it seems to me like that's going to be a big example of people needing to build some bridges, because there were clearly two sides to that that somehow are going to have to reconcile. I mean, eventually things are going to be determined one way or the other, and people are going to have to reconcile. I mean, you know, unless you're going to have a yucky neighborhood, which...
Right.
I mean, who wants a wacky neighborhood, right?
That won't happen. When it's all said and done, I mean, there's a lot there. It's an interesting thing. It doesn't happen very often, and it's a long public process that brings all this stuff out. That's a good representation of how we govern, and it's a lot. We could talk a lot about that at some point. Mm-hmm. At some point.
Mm-hmm. I think that'd be great. Yeah. You know, one of the things I was thinking when I was thinking about that was it would be so nice if there were a way to kind of get out in front of issues that were going to come up, so that the because one of the things that I noticed was looking at Facebook and all of the comments and everything that was on Facebook, there's a lot of misinformation that gets, you know, pushed around. And a lot of it, you know, happens on Facebook, of course. But it'd be so nice if there were a way to get out ahead of issues and talk about them before the disinformation starts circulating, so that people don't have to be afraid, you know, of something that actually isn't going to happen.
Right. So, so we'll use an example other than that specific, situation. Okay. Mm-hmm. But so something like that, something comes up that there's different sides and that people care about, and, misinformation starts to spread. Unfortunately, I've seen, more than once how misinformation can be corrected, but people still stick with the misinformation. So does that make sense at all?
Why do you think? Why would they stick with, I mean, do they know that it's misinformation?
I can think of past things that have come to the city where misinformation, was spread by people that knew that it was misinformation. I mean, that's not crazy abnormal, right?
It sounds pretty crazy to me.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, I just don't understand why somebody would spread information that they knew was incorrect.
Well, if you wanted to bring people over to, let's say, like, quote, your side, you can use all sorts of things, right? Very exaggerated language or straight up just false information.
Right. I can only speak for myself, but I would never knowingly if I knew it was misinformation, I would never spread that, no matter what.
Yeah.
Because it's just, that's just wrong. I mean, so what if you want a certain result? Seems to me the process of getting to the result is just as important, if not more so, than the result itself. So you don't, I mean, I don't understand it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and typically, the examples I can think of, typically they're not hard, like factual statements, but it's,
right,
it's like innuendo or accusatory. It's spreading a mystery, you know, and
right,
and making something, inferring things and questioning things. And there's nothing that you could actually point to and prove wrong. So
is it possible that the people who are saying that actually believe that it's true?
Oh, I said
that they believe that misinformation is true.
I suppose, yeah, I suppose it's possible.
I mean, then the way, if you extend grace, as your favorite saying, and assume that somebody is arguing what they believe to be fact or truth, then it becomes not just combating, not just pushing back against the information, but actually going into where that came from or what that is hinged on. I mean, it obviously, you know, you need a conversation with that person, mm-hmm, whoever's spreading it, to find out. But if they believe that it's true, they're not going to leave it alone. You know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And what we need is, what the community would need is for them to leave it alone because it's not true. But unless they know that it's not true, they can't leave it alone.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's, you know, as soon as a hard question is asked, and by hard, I mean a clear, concise question based on, mm-hmm, you know, actual, like, you know, a true question, right?
Right.
You know, and it gets answered, and usually it would come down to if someone believed the person giving the answer or someone believes the person giving the misinformation or in their mind, the true information.
Right. Right.
You know, it kind of depends on your perspective on that one, I suppose. But most of the things that come to mind, people don't typically just outright lie, in government or in the public, but it's usually kind of misdirection or something that's, the examples I can think of involve people that you and I both know and care about. So,
yes, I knew that.
Yeah, okay.
I can see right into
yeah,
your brain.
Can you?
I can yeah. see in there. Yeah, I can. Your forehead has become absolutely transparent. Yeah. I can see right into the brain.
Oh, that's funny. Well, okay. So let's see. If we, we like talking about azalea trees, right? Because yeah,
I knew it was going to get to azalea. I did. I almost put it in my outline.
Did you really?
I did.
Okay.
Almost. Yeah.
So a statement that kind of like gets thrown into someone's larger statement just for kind of dramatic effect or something that is right, obviously not accurate. Something like trees getting cut down to build another ball field. You know, I mean, like obviously the size of a ball field and some trees being cut down and where they're being cut down, like no one looking at that could really actually believe that there was a plan to build a ball field there. I mean, I suppose you could, I mean, actually believe that, but it just seems, I don't know, unbelievable that you would actually believe that.
But it's unbelievable to you, because you're on the inside of all of it. You look at documents all the time that show
the ball fields and the trees and the plans, right? And a lot of your constituents don't. They never see those documents. So they don't actually know. I mean, they might very realistically think that that's what's happening.
From point zero, you know, from starting point, obviously they wouldn't know, right? If all they know is that trees are getting cut down, they won't even know where or what park or whatever. So they start to gather information and where are the trees and, you know, or, oh, another one that I saw recently, the benches being pulled from downtown, right? And so the reason that that was pulled, they were pulled from downtown is because they went to a public works yard so the public works guys can sit on them, right?
I saw that, and
it's like, it's a joke. It's kind of a joke, right?
And they did show a picture of the guy sitting on the bench. The guy, right?
Like sitting on a bench, right? Classic. Like it should be on a Hallmark calendar or something, you know? Yeah. So pretty things kind of like that. I mean, I don't know how much a person really believes it when they're saying it, you know, or if they're making it a statement of fact, or if it's just kind of a, you know, whatever you call that, just throw it out there.
Yeah. A dig.
Yeah. Or just something kind of funny, you know?
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It could be that, right? An attempt to be funny on Facebook. Yeah. Which often falls flat.
It works sometimes.
Occasionally. But what clearly is missing, you know, as far as I'm concerned, though, is if there were... So let's just take the azalea trees for a minute. Mm-hmm. If the way that whole thing had started was with conversations with the community. Mm-hmm. So let's say that, you know, staff wanted... So there was an issue called trees and taking down trees for whatever reason those trees wanted to come down or needed to come down or somebody thought they should come down or whatever. Mm-hmm. If the conversations had started then, and I'm thinking conversations with basically stakeholder kind of conversations, but you know, you could probably have conversations with the neighborhood about what the idea was. You could have conversations with Azalea Park Foundation to talk to them mm-hmm. about what the plans were or what the idea was. Talk to the Frisbee Golf people because mm-hmm. they, of course, were going to be impacted. I mean, like, seriously have beginning conversations with members of the community so that nobody was actually starting from zero, that everybody actually, or not everybody, obviously, but certainly some major stakeholders knew what was going on and could then deal with the misinformation or the rumors that were getting started. It just seems like that's the missing component, is just information that is widespread, you know, that not just focused in a commission or in, you know, a small group of staff people or whatever, mm-hmm. but that a lot of people have the information. And that's the place where it seems to me that the conversations about why it might not be a good idea or what might be a better idea or how to do it, that's where it seems to me that those conversations could start taking place and thereby avoiding the stuff at the end when everybody shows up in council chambers, you know, ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that's what we want to avoid, right? Ultimately, we want it to be consensus. We want it to be agreement.
Yeah. So let's see. So I got to back up some.
Good.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you at all. So the,
that's sweet.
I try.
But you should interrupt me if you feel like you need to get it.
Yeah. And I would, okay. I was partly listening to trying to listen real well. So conversations, just sticking on the tree thing, because we both know, you know, we're both involved in that. So, you know, in reality, conversations about those trees started, you know, years prior. Right. And, you know, so I say conversation, and you are thinking, well, with who, right? But conversation started, you know, quite a while before something even came to a commission level. And through that commission level, the status quo of information being published and counting on interested public to look at public or published information. And then it goes through, you know, a process of public meetings and, you know, runs all the way up. It gets to city council. City council runs through at least two public meetings on the topic. And then it comes to a council meeting for action. And in right before it came to council action or came to a council meeting for action, you know, some concerned citizens like caught wind of it and started rallying the troops. Right. You're right.
It actually happened before that. I mean, when it was in workshop, I think there were people, I think the rallying happened earlier, but
not at workshop time. Cause there weren't people involved in workshop time.
Well, yes. I know why though.
Yeah.
Because we were being evacuated. Well, we were evacuated.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That was during the Chekhov bar fire.
Yeah, I got
and
you.
People were evacuated. So and that I remember community members being pretty incensed that they were expected to show up at a workshop when they were evacuated. Yeah. So
great timing, absolutely great timing.
No. Yet another perfect storm.
So, I mean, I've said it more than once on our chats. I mean, like the Azalea Park tree cutting and the process of that and how that was handled and everything, there's like plenty of things that I look back and go, man, I wish I could do that one over again.
Yeah, me too.
You know, there was, though, the reality of the process that took place and what happened. It was actually fairly lengthy, and there was nothing that was inaccessible by the public. Okay. And like, I get that having ticked off people in council chambers is, you know, it's crappy, and I don't want people to be ticked off. But you know, there was a lot of what happened there that is the public process. That is the way it's supposed to work, that something was planned and a bunch of people caught wind of it and a bunch of people show up to the city council and start, you know, demanding something. And there was, the planned work was stopped. And then it was like, okay, we're going to regroup and go through this public process. And in the end, some of the trees still got cut down, you know, but it still was that public process, and people were heard. The trick is, chat with them, hear them before, everyone's real pissed. That's the deal.
Yeah. It seems like we're at a great opportune moment to kind of reimagine what we want public input to be, community input to be, because with COVID we're limping along here. You know, I mean, I suppose the commissions are still meeting, but I can guarantee you that there are not many of us, of other volunteers, who are showing up for those meetings mm-hmm. because it's not safe. So we're at kind of an interesting crossroads, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely not the times that are most conducive for public involvement. You know, people don't, more than ever, like we never had many people coming and just actively going to council meetings just to be there. It was always when something happened that was important to him. But never have we had a time like it is now where, I mean, there's meetings where there are no public there. And it's the days we live.
And it isn't because there are no issues, you know, it really is because there are no grinding issues that somebody feels like they have to show up for.
That sparked someone's interest or, right. you know, whatever it was that made them want to come into a council meeting. There really hasn't been much.
I'm just wondering if there isn't some other way that we could envision that. Because if the first involvement of the public is at the commission level, it's already too late, in my opinion. Because you've got commissioners there who are a narrow segment, narrow slice of the population, who they've probably already figured out what they think about the items that are on their agenda, which means that they may listen to somebody who, a member of the public who comes to speak or ask questions or whatever, but it's not a conversation. You know, it's just not. You know, they're sitting up on the dais right?
I mean, I thought you said dias like on purpose.
Oh no, what's it called?
No, some people call it a dais. Yeah, a dais or
okay,
yeah.
What do you call it?
I think I call it a dais. I just
I get
you
it.
You pause and the syllable breaks. I thought it was a joke. That was all.
Okay. It was not a joke. It was me not being sure how to pronounce it. Okay. That's hilarious. Okay. Well, whatever that thing is, that semicircle that you guys sit in, right? Because I know that, you know, when I was on TPAC, we didn't meet up on there. We sat down on the floor and did that intentionally so that, you know, the community would feel comfortable. But I know that some of the commissions sit up there, and it's just not comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, you don't feel like you are engaged in a conversation. So
typically, just for point of clarification, typically it's council and commissions that sit on the dais and committees, you know, any committees, you know, we usually just gather around tables. That's usually how that works.
Okay. So I thought TPAC was a commission, but it wasn't.
It's committee advisory.
Okay. Was committee. Yep. Okay. So again, coming back to that, it seems like if there was a way for the conversation to start a lot earlier than before it gets to commission, like there must be a place where the idea originates. And wherever that idea originates, if right then and there it could somehow get shared so that the conversations could start right then and there, before anybody's had a chance to dig their heels in mm-hmm. about the way it's going to happen or the timeline that it's going to happen in or, you know, whatever. Doesn't that sound?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm struggling with, not struggling with, but there's a lot of different when you say idea, there's a lot of different things, and like some of them are ideas, some of them are like steps in a plan. You know what I mean? Do you get what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's a lot of ideas that come from a plan that came out of those beginning conversations. And that's an issue that I keep running up against, the length of time that it takes for something to happen, you know, something large scale to happen in government. It takes quite a bit of time. And so when it actually comes time to take a step and actually pave a road or to actually start digging dirt and build something, you know, sometimes it's been like 5 years, 10 years since the actual community conversation takes place. A lot of the work that was done downtown some years ago, the plan that drove that work to happen, the conversation for that plan happened a decade prior. So the people today weren't part of that conversation 5 years mm-hmm. ago. So, and that's an issue.
It is. Yeah. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Right? Because if the people are different, I mean, literally, yeah. if the people are different,
yeah.
then wow.
I mean, it's a fact of life. And sometimes there are so many different people that, I mean, it's actually a, you know, the community has changed and something,
right.
something is no longer a priority, or something that wasn't a priority is a priority today. And it's just, right. you know, and that's part of government, and it happens and things do change. What you said at the beginning with Azalea Park and that, even though some conversations happened, even though that, if you were one that was amongst those conversations, there was nothing strange about what was going on. You saw this coming, that you knew about this, right? But for all those, right. for all those outside of the conversation, what you said about contacting and communicating with neighbors and Frisbee Golf and Azalea Park Foundation and just the work involved in that, that is one of those big, if I could do it over again, you know, things.
Right. Right.
And just, you know, doing that work right. and not being afraid of what the public might say. Cause I know that works itself in there. I know that's part yes. of our minds, you know, decision makers. Yes. Right. You know, if you ring a bell, people are going to hear it, and you know what I'm saying? And so that's part of it.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you are in office, you have been elected by the people, right, to, you know, govern. But if the people don't know what you're up to, right. you know, if you're making decisions for them in the absence of their knowledge and consent, then, you know, I'm not sure how legitimate that is.
Well, I mean, that does happen like every single day in government, though.
Duh.
And well, but it is the government that we have, that we've chosen right. to have. And, right. you know, there is a perspective, even what you were mentioning about committees and commissions and kind of separating them from the public, and they're a small sliver of public. And I mean, we have to remember, I remember the fact that one, the prominent governing authority is five individuals elected out of this community, and a community is 6,500 people. Okay. And then the next layer being a more specified group of people that are straight up out of the community, either five or seven community members that are tasked with these decisions.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, that is, those committee members or commission members, they're not necessarily like in the whole machine of government. I mean, they right. are the community, and I'm not totally sure what you mean by thin slice. If it was just numbers or
numbers,
really
mostly numbers.
Yeah. Is the other yeah. part of it the fact that they're like handpicked? by the mayor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is, you know, a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that part of it. You know, but a big picture, that is how we're set up. And even though we today have the technology that every decision that we make could be a random, like, voted on via text message from citizens in the community, right? But that's not how we do it. Wow. That's not how government.
That is kind of possible, though, isn't
it? Is that the best way? Wow. I mean, that's not the best. I don't believe that's the best way to run an efficient government. So it's this, you know, it's this balance. On the one hand, what you described about me making decisions for you outside of even your knowledge, there's a lot of folks in this community that would, they wouldn't use those words, but they would express that perspective. You know, I'm too busy to deal with all this, Jake. I'm trusting you to stink and make these choices, and they better be good choices for us. You know, that's part of why they gave me the job. To do it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I just think that while I'm sure that there are a lot of people who don't want to be involved in the minutia, and, you know, they really do want somebody else to be making those decisions, I think at a different level, maybe people want to know what the issues are and what some of the big decisions are.
Yeah, some of the decisions that are important to them. You know, when you're saying like a big decision, I've always been kind of surprised. I'm not surprised anymore, but I thought it was really interesting how, you know, the city council, we can spend like millions of dollars without anybody batting an eye if it's something that's boring that no one cares about, right? But, you know, buy one shiny police car, or, you know, cut down a tree in a park. They're really important to people.
Right.
And so, you know, those are the issues that the public want to be involved in. And I've got to figure out a way and be more willing to work harder to hear from them and to communicate with them.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about, I'm just going to send up a little balloon. You can shoot it down. If there was some kind of a task force that was formed that cut across all of the lines that we have here. So, you know, the young and the elderly, the poor and the wealthy, the, you know, homed and the homeless. I mean, kind of cutting across all of the lines so that really just about everybody, or certainly every pocket of people, was represented. And then when there are issues that are coming up or things that need to be decided, they are told. And then if one of them knows that there's going to be issues with a certain segment, then the word starts, the education starts, you know, so that they understand the issue and can communicate that understanding. And then if there are groups that need to meet that come out of that, then those small town halls or small stakeholder meetings could be handled, like, in the beginning by this task force, because you don't want to really ask any more of the people who are already doing, you know, I mean, the counselors should not have to be doing that, you know, that it's, and the commissions shouldn't have to be doing it either. It really should be a new group of people that have a lot of tentacles out in a lot of different directions in the community, so that the feedback that you get is pretty quick, and is varied, you know, because it's coming in from so many different pockets in the community.
Yeah, I mean, in a not a perfect world, but in a really good Brookings, I mean, that's you're describing just about what the city council is. I mean, no.
Yeah, no. No. Not really. No, because you guys don't take a germ when it's an idea and then go talk to the constituents about that. I mean, that you don't have time to do
that. Oh, no. What do you mean? How do you know we don't do that?
Well, nobody's ever talked to me. Duh. So what that says to me is that I'm not anybody's constituent. Okay. So, and that doesn't make me a happy camper, right?
Yeah.
And that's really what I mean is that it has to be, you know, you've got five people who are on city council, they're elected. It's largely a popularity contest. I mean, really, right? And
so that you just described, that is a
popularity contest. I'm sorry.
I mean, is
that wasn't hurtful, was it?
Oh, no, not at all. But it's I just wanted to point it out because I mean that I hear things like that, right? But that is in fact the democratic process and the government that, you know, for the people, by the people, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Except that if there is a majority of people who are philosophically oriented one way, the minority, which may only be 10% less, is not getting a voice. Because it's the majority that gets elected, right?
Well, I mean, and that's like worst case. That's assuming a lot of bad things. Oh, I say bad things, but that's assuming a lot. That's assuming a lot.
Yes.
Or maybe even that's presuming. You know, there's some presuming that you're doing there, and I realize that you have good reason for that.
Well, I'm not saying that it's not possible for somebody who is not left-leaning, a woman, and of various other things that I am. I'm not saying it's not possible for somebody who is not that to represent me. It's just that they don't have my experiences. Right. Mm-hmm. To inform their decisions. So I'm just thinking that to get a wider base of consensus might be something that that we think has value rather than battling it out. I mean, aren't you tired of the battles? I'm really.
Oh, I am. Yeah. And I've.
Yeah.
I mean, I've. Oh, I have more clarity now than what I have in the past and put more value in, I don't even know really how to explain it, but valuing the idea of, not taking care of a minority, but seeking out and looking for a lot of times they're naysayers to me, but really they're just, mm-hmm. they're the minority, you know, the whatever the minority group is. Mm-hmm. I feel more called now than what I have in the past to actually reach out to that side. And it just not, it's easy to shrug and say majority rules, when you're in the majority, you know. It works when you're in the majority for the majority to rule.
Yes, yeah. It does.
Yeah.
But when you're not, it doesn't work so good. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
And actually, I think that's great that it doesn't work so good because it forces us to reexamine the way we do things. Mm-hmm. You know, if we still go by majority rules, then what we're doing is setting up the conflict. We're setting it up by insisting on that way of doing things. If we do it by consensus, what we're doing is eliminating the setup, right? We're saying, no, it's not going to be because we've got five votes against three. Mm-hmm. No, we want consensus. We want everyone to be able to support this. So it needs to meet the issues for everybody in some way, shape, or form. Does everybody not quite get what they want? Of course, because that's compromise.
Right.
Where nobody quite gets everything, but everybody gets something. Just thinking it might be a better way.
I mean, you're describing how it works amongst the council.
I know. That's why I think it's so important, is because I watch you do it and I think, yes, Jake, that's exactly the way it should go. And it goes that way. I know you're very reluctant to take a bow, but it does go that way because of you. Because you look for that. You don't look for, all right, it's, you know, 3-2 or whatever. You look for a way to reach consensus. And it just seems to me like that is a better way of doing it.
Yeah, it is. And it's because of me, only because I'm the mayor, and that's kind of,
yes,
that's been the mayor's job, you know, and mayors before me were the same way. At least kind of the two that I have known in my time.
So maybe I notice it more because it's become important to me.
And I mean, and I'm incredibly good looking.
Oh my God.
There's that.
There's always that, right?
I don't even know where that one came from. I'm not sure.
Haircut, right?
And the haircut. The haircut. Oh, man.
Oh, God, I love you, Jake.
Oh, that's funny.
Right? Who says stuff like that?
So, but I know, right? Yeah, that's what happens when you run unopposed. Things like that happen.
That's pretty funny.
So I'm still chewing on this makeup of the city council and predominantly who gets elected now, because it really, you could say that now, but in the past and in the history of the city, it hasn't been that way. It was only maybe 16 years ago, I think, that there was a mayor who fit your demographic almost down to a T, you know, even lived out in your area.
I know.
And
about
it's just
three blocks from me.
Yeah. And there's been plenty of times in the city's history where there were more left-leaning folks on the city council, you know?
But don't you think, and I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
Don't you think in a city that has got to have about a 50-50 population of men and women,
mm-hmm.
don't you think it odd that it's been 16 years since there's been a woman on council in a community that is 50-50?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right? Doesn't that just seem a little bit...
Well,
odd.
So the one time that it was close, it was literally just chance that an appointment that was being made wasn't female. I look at the rosters. I guess there's been females almost. There was females that ran. Let's see, a female ran against me. There were females in the last council election too. I mean, why do you think that is?
Because I think that the majority in the community prefer men on their council.
Really?
And that's the problem with minority. Is because as long as the majority of voters feel like a man, like men represent them better for whatever reason. There's no hope of a woman getting elected. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. And I would imagine that the same would be true of if you were looking at another issue, like let's say there was a homeless person who wanted to serve on council, which probably can't happen because they actually have to have a residence. But if the majority of the voting public are homed people, they would have no desire to see the minority on council. They would not vote for them. And I think that's the place where we get stuck. Why, you know,
well,
people don't feel like they have an equal voice because they actually don't.
Well, I understand as much as I can, you know, that perspective. And I
love that you took the time to do that. I really do. I mean, that, yeah. Thank you for doing that.
Yet, looking at the last, so I've been, you know, a baker's dozen years pretty much. I don't know. I would see it a bit differently than that. There hasn't been an opportunity for this community to choose between two people where all else being equal, but it's a male and a female.
Right.
You know, that hasn't really happened. And when we first started this conversation about, you know, men and women on the council, I understand that they're not elected, but my mind immediately went to that, you know, the job, who it is that wants to be a counselor or wants to be in, you know, local government. Obviously, from what I've seen, it's been predominantly males that ask for those jobs. And in the same way that most of, right now, every single police officer what this city has is male. It's not because the police department only just keeps hiring males, you know? I mean, who applies for jobs like that? And so who is it that runs for city council and who wants to serve on committees and commissions? Committees and commissions are about, it's not 50-50. But in the appointments that I've made, a handful of them have been female. Mm-hmm. But you just look at those last, how many ever years we've had without a female on the city council, and really go back and think about the elections and the appointments and who the options were and who was involved in all those. I can't think of a time when everything else being equal as far as experience in government and things like that. And the only difference is they're male and female, and males keep getting chosen over females.
No, I believe me, I understand what you're saying. And that is, I think, probably accurate. But I think you might have to look behind that a little bit, because there's a whole bunch of kind of grooming that happens. And I think women are, generally speaking, not groomed for advancement in that.
Well, I had a longtime planning commissioner that I thought, holy smoke, she's going to step into council and it's going to be great.
Wow.
Okay. And it just, if people,
she went away.
If people don't want the job, they don't want the job.
Right.
You know,
no, absolutely.
That's the thing.
No, absolutely.
But yeah, you're right. Like, you know, from going back to the grooming stage, and if there's a disparity there, I don't know. Holy smokes. Yeah. We're already getting a 4-minute message. What the crap, Tom?
It went fast. Yeah, didn't it? I knew.
I know, man. I've just started cooking, man. The noodle's just cooking now. Jeez.
I'm going to have to remember that for next time. We're going to have to start an hour early. but it's true, you know, that, and that's when you talk about systemic racism, I think that's where the roots of that are as well. That the whole grooming of for advancement, you know, is it's not an equal playing. It's not a level playing. So it's just something to think about.
I mean, if I was being completely honest and didn't realize
that. Are we doing a boom mic here?
No, I mean, from my perspective and what I've seen and what I know, a minority is like a racial minority would be sought out in local government. I mean, if there was a person of color that expressed interest in city government, they would get snatched up pretty stinking quick and pushed right along
by our city government.
Our staff would. Okay.
So let me ask you this question then. Mm-hmm. Why are you not doing that with women? Because women clearly are a minority that are not being represented.
Well, I just mentioned that I tried snatching two of them up.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. But, you know, what have you done for us lately?
Oh, man.
Oh. Oh, come on. Yeah, I had to throw that in there, right?
I know.
Isn't that a Madonna song or something? What have you done for me lately?
Oh, that actually made me gulp there for a minute. I felt like my wife was like stinking.
I love it. Yeah. Holly Pepper, hi.
I know, man.
All right. We really are going to have to wrap this up.
Well, we aren't done with this topic, though, because that's an interesting, that's an interesting thing, you know.
All right. So, put that on the back burner. You don't need to chew on it actively. You can just kind of let it percolate in the background there. But yeah, I agree. It's I love these conversations, Jake. I really do. They're just wow. Yeah. Okay.
They are good.
So here I am wrapping it up. And as always, I've had a really great time talking with you, Jake. It's just the best. And it underscores for me that there are two people who care about their community. And when there are, and if they have different perspectives about the mechanics of it, somehow you can build the bridge. You can just do it because, you know, you never know where the next great idea is going to come from. And I want to thank our audience for listening, and a special thanks to those who've been inspired to start building some bridges of your own. In fact, I heard from two more people this past week who are inspired.
Wow.
I know, right? Something as simple as refraining from calling people whose perspective is different from yours ugly names or insulting them is a giant first step, even if it's just on Facebook. Believe me, that's been one of the hard ones for me. We encourage you to take that first step because it's worth it. And we will see you the next time on Building Bridges.